Shall we turn in our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 5. Nehemiah, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. For there were those who said, "We, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore let us get grain for them that we may eat and live." There are also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." There are also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are brought into slavery already. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." And I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words. After serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, "Each one of you is exacting usury from his brother." So I called a great assembly against them. And I said to them, "According to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren? Or should they be sold to us?" Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. We'll pause there. Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the Persian emperor. He was obviously a man of great resources and of great influence. He had been authorized by the king to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city. And he found out that there was much more to building the walls of Jerusalem than just the building effort. There were emergencies that kept cropping up. There was the enemy that plotted against them to attack them in the night. And then there was also the trial, the ordeal of mockery, when the enemies mocked them as well. And now another emergency exploded that threatened the whole building project, and that was the great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. They were in distress due to oppression, and their distress flared up in the already tense situation. This was the last straw for the people who were helping with the building. They had severe problems of their own. The citizenship, the grassroots, were indignant against their own rulers and against their Jewish brethren. Verse 1, "And there was a great outcry of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren." There were three main areas of complaint. Verse 2. The first complaint was over need and supply. There were those who said, "Our sons and our daughters are many, therefore let us get grain for them, that we may eat and live." The second party were complaining about exorbitant mortgages, and that's found in verse 3. There are also some who said, "We have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy grain because of the famine." The third party were complaining about usury and foreclosures. Verse 4. There are also those who said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tax in our lands and vineyards." These three major areas of complaint. What does the law of Moses have to say about that? Let's look at Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. We'll deal first of all with the first complaint over need and supply. Leviticus 25 verse 35 to 38. Leviticus 25 verse 35 to 38. "And if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him, like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury, nor lend him your food at a profit. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. So that was what the law said. What about the second complaint about exorbitant mortgages? Again, we look at Leviticus 25, verse 25 to 28. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his kinsman redeemer comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale and restore the balance to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. They were complaining about exorbitant mortgages, and that's what the law had to say about it. And then the third party were complaining about foreclosures. For that we have to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19. Deuteronomy 23, verse 19. You shall not charge interest to your brother, interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. So that's what the law had to say about those three areas of complaint. What they said was, in verse 4, we have borrowed money for the king's tax on our lands and vineyards. That tax spoken of was due to their Persian overlords, and the lands and vineyards were held as collateral for their loans, for their pledges borrowed as they left their fields for the work of rebuilding. So while they were rebuilding, their debts were accumulating, and in the end they found themselves in a bankrupt situation, and the ones to whom they owed their debts were the ones who were their own brethren. That's what they say in verse 5. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and indeed we are forcing our sons and our daughters to be slaves, and some of our daughters are brought into slavery already. It is not in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. Their own people were oppressing them. As we read in Isaiah 58, this is what God had to say to his people in Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 7. Isaiah 58, verse 6 and 7. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? That was their complaint, that their rich fellow Hebrews were not treating them kindly. The law of servants is found in Leviticus 25, verse 39 to 44. Leviticus 25, 39 to 44. And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave, but as a hired servant, and a sojourner he shall be with you, and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, both he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. he shall return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with rigor, but you shall fear your God. And as for your male and female slaves, whom you may have from the nations that are around you, from them you may buy male and female slaves. So the rich Hebrews were mistreating their poor fellow countrymen, and others had their lands and vineyards as collateral, so that they were not able to use those lands as collateral to buy out their sons and their daughters. What was happening was that they owed money for the king's revenue, for the king's taxes. They had fallen behind with their payments because of the rebuilding of the wall, and now they found themselves deeply in debt, and they felt it was beyond their power to do anything to remedy the situation. In verse 47-49 of Leviticus 25, 47-49, this is what the law of Moses says about it. Now if a sojourner or stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near of kin to him in his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. The people were deeply in debt. They borrowed from their own countrymen, from their own fellow Jews, and now their own rich countrymen were demanding repayment of the loan. And they said, if you don't, then we have to take your lands as collateral, your properties, or you could let your children serve as slaves in lieu of money. It was the law that if a person became too poor to support himself, he could sell his services as a slave, and his service was in lieu of payment. That was the predicament of the people and their wives against their Jewish brethren. Nehemiah mentioned that when he heard their cry, he became very angry. The question is, why was he angry when the law of Moses allowed lands and people to be used as collateral for debts? And the answer is, these rich people were keeping to the letter of the law, but they had completely bypassed the spirit of the law. He says here in verse 6, and I became very angry when I heard their outcry and these words, indignation against injustice and tender concern for the victims. That's what made him angry. Then he says in verse 7, and after serious thought, I rebuked the nobles and rulers and said to them, each of you is exacting usury from his brother. So I called a great assembly against them. My heart reigned over me. That's literally what the Hebrew says. He was overcome by indignation. And what he did was to rebuke the offenders, just as when we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the elders that sin rebuke before all, that others also may learn to fear. Their guilt was aggravated. They were sinning against their own countrymen. And so he set a great assembly against them. Public gathering for public grievance. That's what he was doing. He got a public meeting underway. He realized that the situation could explode and that the whole project of rebuilding the wall could fall to the ground unless something could be done to remedy the situation. So he took his courage in both hands and he rebuked the offenders. And he did so in public. This is what he says to them in verse 8. And I said to them, according to our ability, we have redeemed our Jewish brethren who were sold to the nations. Now indeed, will you even sell your brethren, or should they be sold to us? Then they were silenced and found nothing to say. We help them to buy their freedom, just as today in certain parts of Africa there are Christians who buy slaves out of their slavery by paying the slave master for the price of their freedom. And this is what Nehemiah was doing with his fellow Jews. And now he says, will you sell them? Are you going to make a trade of them? Undoing the efforts of those who were setting them at liberty. These people were self-convicted and they had nothing to plead. Having rebuked them, the next stage was attitude correction in verse 9. Then I said, what you are doing is not good. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? He was speaking to the rulers and reminding them that what they were doing was not according to the spirit of the law. They had proceeded according to the letter of the law, but now Nehemiah says to them, in keeping the letter of the law, you have completely bypassed the spirit of the law. There are examples of that in Hosea chapter 6. In Hosea chapter 6. I'll read from verse 4 to 6. Hosea 6, beginning at verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew, it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. They had offered their sacrifices, as it were, but they had omitted mercy. The most important ingredient was missing. And the Lord Yeshua says the same thing in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verse 23 onwards. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 onwards. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. He and his disciples were on their way to the synagogue. It was the custom in his day to go to the synagogue early in the morning at breakfast time. And as they went through the cornfields. They did what the law allowed them to do. They could pluck the ears of corn by the little footpath that led through the cornfield. They could pluck the ears of corn that were by the wayside. And they separated the grain from the corn by rubbing the corn in between their hands to separate the husk from the grain. And that, according to the Pharisees, was work, because they said it's threshing in miniature that they are doing. They're really doing some form of threshing, and therefore they are violating the Sabbath. But the Lord pointed out to them that the scripture says, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. These men are hungry, and what they're doing is to stave off their hunger pangs. They're quite all right to do that. He said even David did it himself with the showbread. The showbread was made of 12 loaves of unleavened bread that were put in the house of God every Sabbath fresh. And every Sabbath fresh loaves were put in and the old ones were taken off and eaten by the priests only. It was meant only for the priests. But the Lord pointed out that David ate of it in his need, and God did not punish him for it, which showed that God dispensed with ceremonials and with rituals when it came to life. The Lord said, is the life not more than meat, and the body than raiment. So Nehemiah was pointing out to these rulers that they were breaking the spirit of the law while they were keeping the very letter of the law. And what was more, something else he said, should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? He's reminding them that what they did was not dictated by the fear of God either. Not only was mercy lacking, but the fear of God was absent as well. Should you not walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the nations, our enemies? Their testimony was being compromised. Then a further argument that he used is found in the next verse, verse 10. The power of personal example. Verse 10. I also and my brethren and my servants am lending them money and grain. Please let us stop this usury. It was in the form of a question. I myself, my brethren, and my servants themselves, they haven't taken anything from the poor people. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. He says here to the Corinthians, I urged Titus and sent our brother with him. Did Titus take advantage of you? Did we not walk in the same spirit? Did we not walk in the same steps? It's the same theme here. In this passage here in Corinthians, he's saying, we are being accused of taking material advantage from you. But when I sent Titus, he didn't ask for anything from you, nor did the brother that I sent with him as well. We didn't demand anything from you. And so the personal example here is also found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 23 and 24. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 and 24. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now in those two verses are the principles laid down that I may well claim my rights, but it's at the cost of somebody else's advantage. If I insist on my rights to the point where it causes unnecessary suffering to someone else, I must be willing to set aside my personal right for the sake of the other one, to release the other one from their suffering. And that's what Nehemiah is saying here. We realize that the builders themselves are poverty-stricken, so we make every effort to make life easy for them. He ended up by saying, please let us stop this usury. And then he pleaded with them also here to return what they had taken from them. Here's a positive precept. Forgive their debts and no more foreclosures. Verse 11. Restore now to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money and the grain, the new wine and the oil that you have charged them. Probably they were charging 1% per month, which worked out at 12% a year interest. And he's saying, give it all back to them. No more foreclosures, no more debt. And they agreed. They could well afford it. Verse 12, so they said, we will restore it and will require nothing from them. We will do as you say. Then I called the priests. He was not satisfied with just a verbal commitment. He wanted it signed, sealed, and settled, formalized. Then I called the priests and required an oath from them that they would do according to this promise. So he called the priests, and under the ministry of the priests, they were compelled to formalize their agreement by a religious oath. And then he did something further. he threatened a curse on anyone who broke their oath. Verse 13, then I shook out the fold of my garment and said, so may God shake out each man from his house and from his property who does not perform this promise. Even thus may he be shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Then the people did according to this promise. So he redeemed the situation. He defused the crisis. He restored the people's confidence. And he, best of all, he got the work going again. People can't work well on an empty stomach. And he realized that. So when he made sure that they had enough to eat, then they had enough strength to build as well. Then he brings out a personal testimony here in verse 14. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. What Nehemiah says here is that the total time that he was governor, 12 years, he never took one grain from the people. He was on the giving side. He was not on the receiving side. Self-denial by his whole family. My brothers as well did that. But he said the former governors, verse 15, but the former governors who had been before me laid burdens on the people and took from them bread and wine besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not so because of the fear of God. So he did what he inculcated on the rulers and the rich people. He said, you should not do it so because of the fear of God. And then he cited his own personal example where he said, I did not take a single grain from these poor people because of the fear of God. So he was practicing what he preached. So did not I, because of the fear of God. Those former governors may not have been Hebrews, they may have been heathen governors. And even their servants were ruling over the people in Judea. This is what he did instead, verse 16. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. So he continued not only to give, but also to lend a hand in building the wall of Jerusalem. He was a really noble character, a really generous heart. Indeed, I also continued the work on this wall, and we did not buy any land. All my servants were gathered there for the work. But there was even better to come. He says in verse 17, moreover, there were at my table 150 Jews and rulers, besides those who came to us from the nations around us. So he said, I not only did not take anything, I gave enough. I held banquets on a regular basis so that people who were hungry could come and sit down, put their feet under my table and get some food to eat. And it mentions the food that he was ordering every day. Now that, verse 18, now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and six choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this, I did not demand the governor's provisions because the bondage was heavy on this people. So he was providing generously at his own expense. He must have been a very rich man in order to do that. He was willing to spend and to be spent for the sake of his people. Then he ends up in verse 19. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He's not asking for salvation here, because he's talking to God as his God. Remember me, O my God, for good. what he's asking is prayer for blessing and mercy on what he had done. The Lord Yeshua himself allowed this. He said, no man can give one of my little disciples a glass of water in the name of a disciple that shall not receive a disciple's reward. And he shall give a prophet, who shall help a prophet in the name of a prophet, shall receive the reward of a prophet. That's found in Matthew chapter 10, the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 10, the last few verses, beginning at verse 40. Matthew 10, verse 40. This was the principle behind Nehemiah's prayer. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. In the case of Elijah and of Elisha, they had generous hostesses, and the hostesses found that they were rewarded for their hospitality. In the case of Elijah, he said to the poor widow woman, make me a cake out of the flour that is remaining, and afterwards you will find that whatever is left over will never be used up. And so it happened, because she made a little cake out of her remaining flour for Elijah, and after that she made a little cake for herself and for her son, and to her surprise, the barrel of meal never wasted, nor did the container of oil ever become completely empty. She had received Elijah in the name of a prophet, and she received the prophet's reward, which was provision in the time of famine. And so it happened with Elisha and with that rich woman of Shunem. It was a private prayer that he offered. Let's look at Psalm 90. Psalm 90, verse 16 and 17. Psalm 90, verses 16 and 17. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands up for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Here's a prayer of Moses, the man of God, praying that God would establish the work of his hands upon him and upon all like him. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And this is what Nehemiah was praying. A prayer for the fruits of his labor not to be lost. Well, that's all we have time for this morning. But God willing, next time we look at another crisis that he faced and overcame in chapter 6. For now, we'll close with a word of prayer. And then, if there are any questions, please feel free to ask. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we pray that we may also know what it is to be generous towards those who are in need and those who are suffering. Help us, our God, to use our resources also for the relief of those who are in need of them. Thank you for this day and for this noble example of Nehemiah. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration it gives us to walk in his footsteps. Help us, O Lord, to do so according to our ability. We pray in the Lord Yeshua's name. Amen.